Hebrews 13 and 15 says, and we'll read here a few more scriptures here in just a little while. Hebrews 13 and 15, as you turn there. It's again just a beautiful building, great atmosphere. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Walls fall down. Now, I'll just make a few remarks, and we're going to pray and let you be seated tonight. You've been praising and worshiping and standing. But a good preacher tonight would just wait a few more moments and kind of keep the subject matter hidden, intricately weave it in within the sermon and within the message, and then have that climax. I just want to go ahead and throw it out there tonight so we can all travel this road together. I believe that walls are going to continue to fall, and walls are going to fall down in this house tonight and in our spirits and things that's been locked up. And I believe the key that's going to unlock that tonight is your praise and your worship and your thanksgiving. And come on, somebody, and your response to the word. This ought not be hid. Come on, walls are going to fall, and praise is the key that's going to unlock. Come on, let's give God some praise one more time in this house, in this service tonight, in the name. Come on, take 30 seconds and give him some praise in the house right now. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just take a moment, lift your voice, be so kind. Let's pray together before you're seated. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we've gathered in this house tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for these people tonight, God, have gathered in your house in one mind and in one accord. We thank you for the leadership, God, of this great church. We thank you for the vision. We thank you, God, for the next big thing, God, that you're going to implement and bring into fruition in their life. We thank you for the growth, the souls you're going to save, the city that's going to be impacted, God, and what you're going to do through this body of believers. And we give you an ovation for it tonight, God. And we give you praise tonight, God. And we thank you for it tonight. I was working on this, actually yesterday, three things came to mind, and I would just like to use them tonight briefly. Three statements, maybe it's for me more than anyone, but I believe it can pertain to all of us in this house, if not now, even before this service is over. Number one, praise is my weapon. Praise, you got to take ownership. Praise is my weapon. A Holy Ghost shout is my sound. And victory is God's response. Come on, praise is my weapon. A Holy Ghost shout is my sound. And victory is God's response. There is victory in this house tonight in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Walls will crumble and devils and sickness flee when praise is my weapon. Simply stated tonight, praise, I believe praise, and I know we're starting this off quickly. Praise is our response to what God has done, what he is doing, and what God is going to do. I believe in prayer. I think we ought to be in prayer every day. I borrow this statement. Somebody made this statement, and I agree. Prayer asks, but praise takes. Because praise is an expression of faith, and faith in God's word produces results. I believe that our prayers must be watered with praise before they bear fruit. Prayer has its place, and it's important to have faith in God's word, but praise is an act of faith. Praise exclaims the gratitude and thanksgiving that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Praise declares, it is mine. Every promise in the book, every chapter, every word, every line. Praise says, I'm still standing on the promises of God that shall not fail. And many times I believe a lack of praise to God is the only thing that keeps people from receiving the answers to their prayer. The praise life of many, and I'm not judging or pointing fingers at anybody, I'll just maybe preach to myself a little bit, but the life of praise can be neglected, and maybe we just praise when we come to church, because it's easy to shout and praise God at church, and we should, but it's easier to praise and shout God in a service where other believers are praising God and everyone else is excited about the things of God. But I'm convinced that maybe some of the best praise that we can give God is when nobody else is praising him and it's just me and him. Come on, it's just me and my dilemma. It's just me and my sickness. It's just me in the hour of chaos and the climatic event. But I'm convinced the best praise that you got is praising him when I don't feel like praising him. When my flesh refuses to praise him, but I praise him anyway. Job said he gives and he takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I came to tell somebody tonight that when you praise, walls will fall and walls will come down in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, would you clap your hands for a moment longer and give God praise? Hallelujah. That's when walls fall that's in the house right now. God's already working and God's already moving. God's already done miracles. I'm just kind of tagging on to what he's doing, and let's flow that way together. Come on, someone said, I'll borrow this phrase, I give them honor, but someone said sometimes you have to outshout your doubt. Come on, sir. Come on, when you're doubting, I've learned in my own life that when you're doubting, when you're afraid, and when the enemy is proverbially on your shoulder trying to tell you not to shout, that's when you need to shout. I'll tell you a secret my elder dad told me. He said, whatever the devil is telling you, you believe the opposite. If he's telling you you're going to die, you ought to praise him and say, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Come on. When he says you're broke, thank God you're blessed. When he says you're down, thank God you're on your way up. You ought to just take a shout right now and come on, praise him anyhow. Praise him anyhow. Praise him anyhow. Praise him in your storm. Hallelujah. I believe tonight, based upon the word of God, that faith and praise are intricately woven together and intertwined. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That was a King James. A New Living Translation says, it was by faith that the people of Israel, would you help me again and say by faith? It was by faith, that's a big statement, that the people of Israel marched around Jericho. You've been marching around some walls and they're coming down. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days and the walls came crashing down. When I look at the word shout in the word of God, and Joshua tells the people, shout unto God when they're about to see Jericho collapse. I'm just kind of getting ahead of myself. But when Joshua begins to talk to them, he tells them, shout, for God has given you the city. Shout. The word shout represents an act of faith and obedience. When you read through the word many times, when it says shout, you hear the phrase shout. It is linked with praise. Psalms 47 and 1 says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. The NLT says, shout joyful praise to God, all the earth. The Bible says in Psalms 95 and 1, we are to shout joyfully to the King of our salvation. In Revelation 7 and 10, they are shouting with a great roar. Come on, it's a shout loud enough to wake the dead. Come on, is there a witness in the house right now? Oh, God, they're shouting with a great shout, and they're shouting praises unto God, declaring that salvation belongs unto Him. So when we hear Joshua command them to shout unto the Lord, God has given them the city, we know that we are hearing the shout of a victorious praise. As I was reading over this yesterday in Joshua 6 and 1, a verse that I guess I've skipped over through the years says, now Jericho, I've read it but just didn't, I guess, stop and take the time to look at it. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Or the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. So in my mind, it just kind of hit me that a lot of the times what we are afraid of is probably just as, if not more, afraid of us. Come on, they didn't lock down Jericho just because there were some people kicking up dust on the outside. They knew that when we see them get here, we better lock this place up, because we've already heard the tale of what their God has done. Rahab had heard the tale of what their God could do. Come on, you're worried about that? That is worried about you. You're worried about debt? Debt's been worried about you. You're worried about your Shatayamahaya. You're worried about it. It's worried about you. Why don't you lift your voice right now and give Him some praise in this house? Come on, praise makes walls fall. So I was getting this together, and I had no idea of anything. I have no idea what's going on here besides what I just picked up when I came in this service tonight. But a point that I wanted to make, and I feel like I need to before I go into the rest of this, and I do not want to quench the spirit. But reading this, Joshua is commanding quite a large body of people. And a lot of these people, if not them, then they've got family that was connected to the situation I just want to briefly allude to. But they had previously been in the wilderness, many of them, or their family had been, whoever had died and whoever was still alive. I'm not sure how that balances out. But many of them had been wandering in the wilderness 40 years. And many of them had a lot to say. That's what the problem was. That's why they were still in the wilderness instead of just a few miles to the promise. Sometimes some things has to die out before those, come on, can inherit the promise. It might look like you're lost, but God's never lost. God's always got a strategy. And sometimes He's just saying, no, not yet, just later on. And Brother Long, I think one of the miracles that runs in tandem with what God did with the walls of Jericho was taking a group of people who had been wandering and complaining for 40 years and telling them for 6 days, you can't say a word. I know, because I've been one of them. It's easy for me to gripe and grumble, and we'll get back to preaching. Just bear with me. It's easy to grumble and gripe and complain. But God told the people that had been, come on, they were, anybody ever get good at complaining? I have, go to a restaurant and the meal's not right, or the preacher don't preach the certain way, or they didn't sing my song tonight, or somebody set my seat, got my parking spot, whatever it is. It's easy for humanity. We've all complained. It's easy to gripe and grumble, and they were good at it. And God told these people that were grumbling, griping, and complaining, He said, for 6 days, I'm in the Word, He said, I want you to march around that city that has walls 11 feet high, 14 feet wide, a 35-degree angle on top of the wall, and it is a state-of-the-art masterpiece built, and it's impregnable, and I want you to march 6 days around that seemingly impossible situation and not say a word. I don't know if we could do it, but they did it. And He said, the next thing, He said, on the seventh day, you're going to march seven times. So if 6 days wasn't bad enough, He said, on the seventh day, you march seven times. And the next thing that comes out of your mouth is going to be a shout of victory. Come on, somebody, and a shout of praise. I came to tell somebody in this house, if you let the next thing that comes out of your mouth be a shout of victory and a shout of praise, you will see walls fall in the name of Jesus. If there's a witness in this house, give God some praise in this place tonight. Walls will fall. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to look back over our journey. Give me just a few more moments. I won't be long. We've got to look over our journey and realize that when God parted the Jordan, it wasn't just because He didn't have anything to do. He was parting the Jordan to get them to their Jericho. And I know Jericho looks intimidating, but God making Jericho fall was no harder than parting the Jordan River at flood tide. You got to look back over your life and say, if God parted the Jordan, then God's bringing me to my Jericho, and I'm looking past my Jericho, and I'm looking to the promised land that flows with milk and honey. We rejoice that this place is paid for, but Brother McCoy, it rejoices for what is next. Come on, there's a next thing in your life. There's a next thing in your life. There's a next thing in your life. Hallelujah. What I'm preaching basically tonight is sometimes you just got to have a shout. Sometimes you just got to stop in the middle of all that's going on and say, I'm just going to stop right here and I want to give God praise. It may not look like I have a reason to give God praise, but that's why I'm praising Him, because what it looks like is not what it is. I might not be able to clap my hands, but I can still say thank you, Jesus. I might not be able to run, but I can still shout thank you, Jesus. I can still have a great attitude. I can still thank God for what He is about to do. In the name of Jesus. Give me 5 more minutes, maybe. Let me tell you something. It's really not, and God's going to do something in our hearts tonight as well. But when you really look past Jordan, and you look past the walls of Jericho, and you look past what's inside of Jericho, and you realize, and I feel it strong tonight in my spirit, that this is the beginning of what God is about to do. I had no earthly idea you was paying this place off, but I'm telling you right now, God's kept track of every penny. He's kept track of every stressful moment. He's kept track of those days when you didn't know if you was going to make the payment. He kept track of all those days that people said you'd never make it. Come on, He's kept it all. God keeps good records, and I'm telling you right now, you're never going to outgive God. You're never going to outworship God. You're never going to outpraise God. I came to tell somebody, there is a press down, shaking together, running over blessing that God's going to pour out into this assembly of believers. If you're behind your pastor and you believe the vision and you love the Lord, I want you to give God some praise in this house right now. It's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to conquer. It's time to inherit. And it's time to possess in Jesus' name. A few more moments. Walls were 11 foot high, 14 foot wide, 35 degree angle. And all God told them to do was march. I'd like to know how deep down the foundation the footing goes. I'd like to know how long that wall's been there. I'd like to know the consistency of the concrete, the specs. How big are them hinges? Can them gates really come off that wall? All this stuff. We like to know and plan. But God don't always tell us all the details. It's hard for me to march around them walls 6 days and seven on the seventh day. I'll just tell you, I like to know what's going on, but God didn't tell them everything that was going on. He just said march. Sometimes you just got to march when God says march, and then stop and praise when God says praise. You've got to march when God says march, and praise when God says praise. Come on, you've got, I don't have all the answers, but I can follow the word and respond. I came to tell somebody, you just need to say yes and respond. Yes and respond. Yes and respond. I follow your pastor. I follow your preacher. I follow your Sunday school teacher. I'll drive that bus. I'll knock doors. I'll pass out 450 door hangers. I'll march and I'll praise. I'll praise and I'll believe. I'll conquer and I'll inhabit to land in the name of Jesus. Come on, give him some praise. Shout, for God hath given you. Come on, lift him up in the house. Lift him up in the house. Lift him up in the
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. A few more moments when I learned to praise instead of ponder, worship instead of worry, shout instead of complain, dance instead of grumble, and walls are going to come down. Hallelujah. I don't know how God is going to do it. All I know is he said, show up at this spot and march for 6 days, and he's going to do it on the seventh. You call me on day number two of day number seven, and I'm going to keep telling you the same thing. I'm going to march on this day, and on the seventh day, I'm marching seven times, and the rest is up to God. Come on, the battle's not yours anyway. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. I just got to show up and report for duty, put on my uniform, and be what he's called me to be, and do what he's called me to do, and won't God do the rest? Hallelujah. 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 Because God can do anything but fail. God can do anything but fail. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. God can do anything but fail. If God fails you, you'll be the first person in all of creation that God has ever failed. He's not failed up to this point, and he's sure not going to fail now. Come on, he's not failed you before, and he's not going to fail you now. Hallelujah. So if you're wondering,
I'm preaching to all the prayer and praise folks in the house, all the faith folks in the house. If you're wondering, way maybe why somebody's shouting so much and shouting so loud and so long and came to church on a Sunday night, it's because we believe that when we shout, walls fall down. And I've got some walls that need to come down. Somebody's got some kids that need to come back home to these altars. You've got some things in your body that God needs to heal. You've got some strongholds that God needs to tear down. Some shackles that need to be broken. Praise makes walls fall down. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things the enemy might take from you. There's a lot of things the enemy might take from you. But you don't need to let him take your shout. Don't let him take your shout. Come on. Tell you something. If you lose your house, the devil don't really need your house. You think the devil's after your money? He really don't need your money. Devil tries to take your health. God can take care of all that. What I'm trying to get to is what the enemy really wants you to do is get shut down in your spirit, because if he can shut down your spirit, you'll shut down your mouth. But if you realize, I don't care what's going on in this chaotic world around me, there's one thing I can be poor as a pauper and still have, and that is my shout, because my shout will make walls fall, devils tremble, cities turned upside down, my world evangelized with this. Why don't you lift your voice one more time? Put your hands together. Lift the roof off this place with the Holy Ghost shout. Haya lomo shataya. Hakaya yalolololo mashataya. Haya lolololo mashataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell you something right now. Sometimes, Brother McCoy, I think the enemy is more convinced of our victory than we are. That's why he fights us so hard. He wants you to, he knows what you're capable of when you really realize that with God all things are possible. I can't get released from it. I got to tell you right now, I believe the Lord. And I know this is a big city, and it's a lot of ground to cover. But I believe the domain that God has placed you over, that he's about to give you in a whole. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it, because I'll stand before God and be accountable. But I believe God is about to give you an apostolic breakthrough in Springfield, Missouri, like you've never known before. Come on, God wants to save the meth addicts. God wants to save the prostitute. He wants to save the drug dealer. He wants to bring him in. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. When Brother Poe's here, come on, God's going to pour it out. God's going to pour it out. God's going to pour it out. He's going to fill him up right now. Hallelujah. Been preaching it back home. You can go ahead and stand. I'm coming to a close. I'm not done preaching, but I'm getting close. I got my wheels down and I'm heading towards the runway. But we've been preaching at home. You see, we come from a little old country church, and God told us to go to Rolla, Missouri, which is a whole lot different than the culture we were used to. And I kept preaching to the people, Brother McCoy. I said, they're coming. They're coming. God's going to save people and bring them into the house that you're not comfortable in sitting by. And I said, I preached it to them, and I was very kind, but I says, I hope they sit right next to you and make you nervous. Sure enough, here they come. And you know they can't sit on the back row. And they're going to come on a Sunday morning. And I'll let Brother McCoy take care of the holiness standards in the church and all that stuff. I'm just telling you the experience that we had at the top. So in March is this human being. And, you know, when you come from where I come from, it's different. And My wife can testify. I'm looking around the room. I'm safe. The hair is blue. Blue, blue. Like Smurf blue. And the human loves to play a tambourine. And we got people in our church that get, they've walked out because of the tambourine. I told them, I said, you're going to have to quit that. Because God's going to save a whole lot of people. I said, you leave them alone, let God do it. Don't you run off, my new converts. Come on, somebody, you leave them alone and you let God do it. We haven't preached standards one time to this human being, but you know what's going on? They're coming to the front and they're praising the Lord. The Holy Ghost is moving. They're speaking in tongues. They're putting their clothes back on. They're bringing their family. And they're wondering what this thing is all about. You know what? When you begin to praise, walls fall down. I know we got to preach all these things, and we sure better live it. But sometimes we just got to have the Holy Ghost shout down and let God do what He wants to do. And let God turn their life completely around in the name. Come on, press down. Shaking together. Come on, walls. Somebody say, walls are coming down. Walls are coming down in the name of Jesus. Walls are coming down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we preached about walls coming down figuratively and as a symbol through the walls of Jericho coming down. But I believe that when they shouted, the children of Israel, Brother McCoy, I believe that when they shouted and the walls came down after they had marched for 6 days, I believe more than just physical walls came down. And you know where I'm going with this. You could preach it yourself. To take all those people, and I'm not accusing you of grumbling. I'm just using that as a typology. But when you can take, when God can take all of them people who are used to doing one thing and shift everything that they knew into a whole nother vein, and they begin to shout with a shout of praise, God showed them when you unify for the right things, and I can show you what results you'll have. Walls come down, and you will inherit your promise. Joshua, what are we doing today? Day number 3. You know what we're doing. We're going to march around this city. Day number 5. What we doing, Pastor? We're going to march around this city. Number 6. We're still fasting and praying and believing. What are we going to do? We're going to march around this city. But we're getting close to 7. We're getting close to day 7. What are we doing today? We're about to see walls come down. We're marching 7 times, and we're going to shout, and God's going to give us this city. Is there anybody in this house believing for Springfield, Missouri? Come on, God's going to give this paid-off church this city in the name of Jesus. But how many would agree tonight that as walls fell down in the lives and in the hearts of in the children of Israel, that there's some walls that need to fall down in me tonight. Some walls that need to fall down in me tonight. I've been in this thing long enough to know that with God I cannot lose, but I can quit. And I don't want to get this far in, Brother Huey Long, and miss out on the next big thing God's about to do. I'm coming to a close, I promise, but you can backslide right in the middle of an apostolic red-hot revival. Come on, we need to take everybody. We need to take everybody. We need to take everybody. When the children of Israel could shout instead of grumble, something crumbled up inside of them. And God began to do a work in them. I'm going to say this, and we're going to have an altar call, and I'm going to be done. But I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost, that sometimes we can bring things from our past into now that's not even ours. We can bring opinions from relatives and mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and grandparents. They have somehow, and I just feel like saying this, bear with me, Sometimes they indoctrinate us with ideas and opinions that's not for where you're at right now. They can put an opinion in you about the church that's not even your opinion. You have the opinion, it's not even yours, about ministry, about the church, about giving, about what God is doing, about the next thing that God wants to do, and we can carry all that junk from them into right now. But when they begin to shout at the walls of Jericho, there were some walls that crumbled up inside of them as they began to, come on, Joshua knew what that was all about. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can go ahead and serve them on nasty gods, that those that come before, but he said, this is a new day. I'm paraphrasing. We're going to serve, we're going forward today. We're going forward in apostolic revival. I don't care what Grandpa said about the preacher. I believe in my pastor. I believe in this church. I believe this doctrine. I believe this movement. And I'm going forward in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you believe it, clap your hands right now. Come on, I'm going to praise him right out of this mess. I'm going to praise him out of trouble I'm in. I'm going to praise him right now. Somebody, give him praise one more time. Come on, give him praise one more time. You got one more praise in ya. You got one more shout in ya. I'm gonna. Connected to this message in any way, I'm going to give an altar call, and I'm going to let Brother McCoy come up here in a little while. He's your pastor. But if you're hungry tonight for God, I want walls to fall. Whatever that wall looks like, whatever that wall is, whatever that thing is in my life that is a hindrance and not a help, that's a stronghold and not a blessing, that pulls me back instead of propelling me forward, I want rid of it tonight. I want to praise until walls fall. I want you to come to the front right now. Come on, you prayed about it. Now your prayer is going to connect with your praise through faith, and you're going to say, now's the time. Right now, right now, right now.